Armalejos up the middle. He comes through. The Mariners grab the lead back with one. And here comes another. Dylan Moore and Jared Kelnick score. It's 6-4 Seattle. Crawford drives one to deep right field. Tucker looking back and forget about it. It's gone. J.P. Crawford for two to make it 8-4 Seattle. Riel skies one. And here's Raleigh. Game over. They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron, and we have got a nice show for you this morning, despite the Astros and the way that they played yesterday. James Palmer is going to join us at 7:30. He's a correspondent for the NFL Network. He used to work here, and then he got big time with the NFL Network, so that's nice. He's up in Denver still?
I think that's his home base, Denver, and that's where he was originally from. And then he, but he's here all the time. You know, he's kind of Houston's reporter for the NFL Network. He's here all the time, but it's
I know he does a lot of stuff for the Broncos.
I remember getting an email from Charlie. You know, he was out of work because Fox. What was it before? Were they Root Sports or no? They're AT&T Sportsnet.
They were Comcast
and a lot.
They were Comcast.
They were Comcast. Comcast, then Root, then AT&T.
I think Comcast, Root Sports, a lot of the people lost their jobs, and he was out of work. And then I'll never forget getting a text from Charlie Uke over at NFL Network, like, hey, what do you know about James Palmer? Which I thought, man, it's an awesome dude. Now he is he got hired, and he's really doing great over there. It's good to see him. He's a really good guy. Has some great insight into the Texans usually. And we'll visit with him. I mean, he's got insight into a lot of things. But I think what's going to be interesting to keep an eye on is Deshaun Watson and Denver Broncos in the future. James may be a guy that we, you know, have on again because he may have some insight into the Broncos building, which could have an impact in the Deshaun Watson stuff at some point.
Pat Forty at 8:30, Dana Holgorsen at 8:45, and then we'll get the guys from Culture Map in here.
Yeah.
At 9:15.
Also, this is a little forward promoting, but tomorrow we have our first visit from a college football expert and analyst, Delvin Olil, I think it is, from Respect My Decision podcast
Delvin.
Also, Sports Map. He does a Sports Map Saturday college show.
I thought his name was Delbert.
Delbert Olil. I think it's his name, Delbert or Delvin Olil. Olil.
No one knows how to pronounce it.
He's related to Lauren, right? And, he's related to Lauren Leal, right?
No. This is different. It's O-L-O-A-L-L-L-A-O-E-A-Y or something.
Olil. Like you want to throw up. Like Olil. Like that.
Yeah.
And he's a college football expert from Respect My Decision podcast, and he'll be joining us every Friday to talk college football, and so he'll be in making his first appearance with us tomorrow. So we'll do that. And maybe he's kind of a baseball guy, so we may talk Astros baseball.
Yeah, no. Well, all of Major League Baseball. See his thoughts on, on everything that happened, especially what happened yesterday.
I think there's a new thing where when Yimmy pitches and Presley pitches in the same game, they both give up runs. I think that's the new thing that we do now.
You think it has to do? Okay, so Dusty can't put Yimi and Presley in the same game.
He can.
Why did you put?
He has.
Why did you put Yimi in anyway?
Yimi's at the point right now. Astros lose, by the way, in a day game. Give up 8 runs. It was Urquidy got. The pitch count was starting to get high on him already.
Well, it was 70 pitches through three innings. So
yeah, that's a little high.
People were like, "Why would you take him?"
It's about 25 an inning.
He's just coming
it's
back.
A second while, start back. Yeah. He's given up 2 runs. It's 25 pitches an inning. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
so it's 24 an inning. But That's a lot. That's a lot of pitches in an inning. That's not working efficiently. He went to Javier, who did his job, and then the Yeamster came in. And what a magnificent job he continues to do.
But why would – okay, so I didn't – okay, Rayleigh, he's got an infatuation with Rayleigh that I don't get. I know a lot of people don't get his infatuation with Stanek. I get that. I think Stanek, you know, he has come in and done some nice things at times early in the year. There was one outing not long ago, maybe three weeks ago or so, bases loaded, nobody out, and Stanek got you out of that. And it was like, holy crap, that's just awesome. Rayleigh, he's got a, you know, his earned run average is way up there. But why would you pull him when he looked really, really good? He was throwing, he came in and he got the job done. And yet, you know what? Oh, well, he faced Crawford, so I got to get him out of there. Why? He looked really good. And then, by the way, Seager is two batters later. You didn't want him to face Haniger, but yet you want Yimi to face Seager? Mm-hmm. Holy crap. Are you kidding me? What is – I just don't get managers. When a guy comes in and he's throwing really well, leave him in there. If he – you know what? Leave him in there. But no, I got this matchup. Ah. And for whatever reason, that's a good – that to you is a good matchup. Okay.
I mean, this is really the Yimi stuff right now. It's still a little ways to go. We'll see how it plays out. But, you know, it's actually not that long to go. And at some point, they got to get to the postseason and figure out what are we going to do with our playoff roster. And I'm telling you right now, based on merit, I'm not sure how you put – Yimi just allows so many bombs and so many big innings in a limited amount of time, big relative to, you know, his limited amount of time. It's just, I'm not sure how you're going to trust him as a Houston Astro. I don't really care what he did with Miami. That's irrelevant to me. What has he done as an Astro? Strami is not getting anything out of him. Whatever Strami's doing, it's not taken. I can tell you that much. He can't get it to take and hold with Yimi Garcia. So, We'll see what happens with the postseason roster. But, you know, I got to thinking this with Stanek and really the entire bullpen. It's no different than the Astros after 2007. In 17, you had a great season for regular season for Devo. And then Devansky wasn't good in the playoffs. Nobody was. And then after that, it's like for 4 years, they just kept going to him. Just because they did. And that's sometimes what it feels like with Dusty in the bullpen. They're just guys who just, you just know they're going to get in. It's no different than what AJ had. They have jobs to do. They trust them to do it. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But right now, we're just in one of those stretches where bullpen doesn't feel very trustworthy. I mean, they just, and Yimi Garcia was this was a closer for a team. Ryan Pressly is a closer who's right now is not playing his best baseball. That's a little bit of a concern. You'd like to have one guy that Graveman not playing his best baseball.
No.
We're talking about guys who are supposed to be the back end. I mean, we thought it was going to be like Yimi Graveman. Yimi.
Long season, but I'm okay that they're not peaking right now. If they get really good the last week of the season when they're playing the A's and the Rays, then you're like, okay, they're on a roll heading into the postseason. They're looking really good. The bullpen is solid. You know what? This is really. I know that it is. You know, it's September, but it is. These are the dog days, man. It's tough to continue to get up every single day. I know we can't expect that. Pressly has been. You know, he has been there all season long. He hasn't taken any time off. He's been there. I'm not nearly as worried about Pressly. I think that Graveman is going to be okay as well. In high leverage situations, I think that they're going to be fine.
You're not worried at all?
No, I'm not worried at all. I'm really not.
How come?
Because we've seen these guys perform well. At
we've
the
never seen
level.
An Astros bullpen perform well in a playoff.
No, but this is
never
a different
in
team.
Astros baseball. This is
most of these guys are new, so that doesn't matter.
Most of them were new in 19 versus 17. Not most of them.
Yeah,
some of them.
I know, but past performance doesn't other guys doesn't mean that these guys can't.
But I'm not used to any Astros bullpen pitching well in the postseason.
Yeah,
even when they win Worlds, even when they're in World Series, like you haven't been able to trust them, and now we got a bullpen full of guys that you just don't feel great about right now, even after making three trades.
Yeah.
You made three trades, and I right now don't – I feel better about where they were at one point. I don't feel good about the bullpen right now.
No, I don't feel great about it. But again, you know what? I didn't feel you know, I didn't feel like a week ago that Jose Altuve had ever hit another home run, and he went back-to-back games. Bregman, we went 2 months without him. Now he every game he's homering. You know what? It's going to work. The bullpen will work itself.
Here's
out
what you got postseason. From Yimi Garcia, his last seven games, 5 1/3, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, with a WHIP of 1.5. An ERA of 6.75. That's not what you'd want.
No, no.
Not what you'd hope for.
I don't have much trust in Yimi. We haven't seen Yimi pitch well. That's all. But I've got faith in Graveman. I've got more faith than a lot of people have in Stanek. I have a feeling Rayleigh is going to be on this postseason roster. Taylor's going to be on this postseason roster.
Javier.
You know what?
Odorizzi?
He didn't look all that bad, although he's still struggling to find the plate.
I know. That. Which last year... he found it great.
Yeah.
Like it was, he was a guy who really had tremendous command. Let me ask you, Odorizzi, Urquidy, Javier. Those are three guys that may be fighting for what, 2 roster spots?
Yeah, there's a chance Odorizzi is not on the postseason. Now we did hear that Odorizzi and the organization, they maybe work things out. We'll see. Here is some quotes yesterday about the Odorizzi situation.
We talked about it, and we're all in agreement. It just, you know, if it dictates it, it dictates it. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Our job is to win ball games, and the best way to do that is however they decide it's going to be. Like I said, I'm a player, not a manager, not a coach. I do my job. We move on. So whatever they're thinking is best, is best. We've had communication. We've talked. There's certain points. It's a baseball season. There's highs. There's lows. It's just an honesty thing. You know, I've been honest when I was terrible early on in the season. I didn't mince words about it. I didn't mince words now. I'm not really wired to just go along with it. I'll speak the truth if I believe it, and we move forward. But there's highs and lows at any point. We've had conversations earlier on in the year when I was really struggling. We were very hands-on trying to figure things out, whatever it may be. So it's a baseball season. It's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be boilovers at certain points, but I love everybody in that clubhouse, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that was Jake Odorizzi, and you know, of course, they probably sat him down, and you know what, Jake, this is the reality of it. This is where we are. You know what, you keep on pitching well, and everything's going to work itself out. As of right now, I can't see him on the postseason roster. But if in fact, listen, he first time through the lineup, second time through the lineup, he's pretty damn good. So maybe if he can adjust to the bullpen. I don't know. Dude has got a chip on his shoulder about his career and where he is in the game. So it appears that it might be a slap in the face. Would it be more of a slap in the face if he's left off the roster altogether? Because he ain't starting. He ain't starting right now, that's for sure. So, Jake, are you going to go into the bullpen and give everything you got for this team, or are you going to just sit and watch? Because you can't, because you couldn't stand the demotion of going to the bullpen for the postseason. We'll see. We'll find out how that works out for Jake Odorizzi. It hasn't really worked out for Javier, if you want to know the truth. And maybe I don't know, because he looked a lot better out of the bullpen last year in the postseason.
It was great last
maybe
year.
Maybe it's the focus first of a postseason that he needs, but he certainly has his struggles with.
Something's
at
there.
One point, he had 11 strikes and 11 balls.
He has no command. He doesn't have his command. Last year, he was what made him so good is that big curveball he's got. But he had great command on the edges, and he just doesn't have it anymore.
Nope.
His command on the edges is not where it was, and you know that's going to be something that Brent Strom has to fix. Yeah. I mean, Brent Strom's got to fix that, and. You look at him and you say, okay, is there any chance it's that last year people didn't know him and this year they know him a little bit and they're laying off certain pitches? But I think it's more than that. I think he's just missing spots.
It looked like yesterday that they're getting to know Jake Myers because
he looked
bad yesterday.
When we come back, we'll also dig into some information came out about on MLB trade rumors about Odorizzi and why another reason why he's a little feisty, and it has to do with money and incentives.
Yeah,
that's another reason.
Right,
that we didn't talk about.
We will do that on the other side. But right now it's 7:14 on ESPN 97.5, and we're talking about Underdog.
UnderdogFantasy.com. I signed up for my team yesterday. It's like all flex basically. There was no quarterbacks in here, and it's for the game tonight, the Thursday night game between Dallas and Tampa. I ended up with a team that I was happy with. Only four players. I'm playing with against three different people, and I had my my entry, $25 entry, and we'll see how we do on this one. But Underdog Fantasy, so much fun because there's Battle Royale. I haven't seen this one. Battle Royale, you have Battle Royale week one. That's a $5 entry. The Night Rumble 2, $5 entry, and there's a $5 entry on the Puppy, which is a season-long fantasy football. They've got daily fantasy, meaning, you know, the weekend worth of games, or it can be for just a Thursday night game or a Monday night game. They've got season-long contests, and they've got awesome pick'em contests where you pick the overs and unders, and you can pick anywhere from 2 to 5. If you pick 5 winners where you hit the over-unders right on individual player stats, you are going to win 20 times your original play. So you put $20 out there, you are going to win $400. That is an awesome opportunity with that multiplier for you. And that's at UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code radio. You're going to get a $25 added bonus onto your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code radio.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
So the NFL season starts tonight. How are you going to play it? You want to gamble on it? Do you like the Cowboys? Go ahead, bet on the Cowboys. See how that works out for you. Do you like Tampa? Well, whatever. Whatevs. Take your Cowboys. Go get it. But go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, and you put in $1,000. They will match $1,000. Match $1,000. Now, you say, well, I'm already on mybookie.ag. Well, guess what? They will still match it. Even if you're a current player on MyBookie, even if you're brand new, even if you played before and quit, you can go back again, and they will match up to $1,000 right now at MyBookie. This is happening right now. Don't know how long it's going to last, but it's the best deal I've ever seen, especially for those of you that are players on the site right now. Put in MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, and get that matching $1,000 to play, win, get paid at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 975, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us here. I stopped by, I went to the game yesterday, and afterwards I walked over to Raul's new place, Cobos Q.
How it's coming along?
Yeah, it's coming along very, very nicely. So it's going to be... It's, you know, you walk out of the park, it's 3 blocks away from the park. It's over there by where Lucky's used to be. And,
Yeah. He got a great spot.
Deep fryer?
Pardon me?
Did you approve of the deep fryer?
I did. Yes, okay. I did.
And you actually signed it, too. It's now the John Granato
deep
fryer.
There will,
right?
And by the way, I mean, you're too stupid to have a restaurant if you don't have fries. So I know Raul's not that stupid. So So congratulations to him. It's looking great. It's going to open up, I think he said maybe October October 1st. Is that what he
scheduled?
Said? Yeah, but there's still a lot of they were getting the stuff done. He's got TVs all over, huge TVs. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great place. So I just wanted to tell you that. Yes, yeah, so Odorizzi. There's no wonder there might be a little bit of tension. He's got 94 innings pitched this year. What is it, 94 and a third or 94 and two-thirds, whatever it is. He's got to get some innings. He's got to get some more innings up there.
Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of – so it turns out Jake Odorizzi has a lot of incentives, innings-based incentives in his claw. Starts at 100 innings, and then he's got incentives for like every – I think 110, 20, 30, 40, 50, something like that, all the way up. And there's money tied to his innings pitched. So you can see why a guy who doesn't look like he's going to get to 100 innings is getting a little bit salty. He's not a player who gets past the five-inning mark very often. And when you have money tied to your innings pitched, you can see where the player is going to be. He's going to be ticked off because he's thinking, okay, I just had five innings. I'm in the 66, 68 pitches. I should be able to get another inning in. This is ridiculous. I guarantee you that had to do with money.
Yeah, probably.
I guarantee you that one. He's thinking, okay, they're stifling me on purpose.
He might be thinking that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And that's the dangerous thing about tying too many incentives to performance that requires like innings pitch.
Well, that's the only thing you can do. You can't do wins.
Well, you can have ratios. You could, if you wanted, maybe you tie it to whip. Maybe you tie it to something performance based that isn't. Like for the Astros, for them, they're saying, look, you're horrible third time around in the line. I get why the Astros would do that. I understand analytically why the Astros would do it. But for the pitcher, he's probably saying, oh my God, guys, I get why you're taking me out at 88 pitches after five innings, but I'm in the 60s. Let me get my innings here so I have a chance to make my money. I'll bet you that has something to do with it.
So, Major League Baseball's basic agreement prohibits incentives from being awarded based on statistical achievement. You can only do it on that. I believe it's with pitchers. I'm pretty sure you can't do it on WHIP. You just can't do that. So here's what pitchers with incentive laden contracts typically trigger the incentive based on: number of innings pitched, number of games started, number of relief appearances, number of games finished. And that's it. You can't do it based on performance because baseball is such a team game that you can't look at statistics and say, because then it's going to, you're, the reason for that is that you become a selfish player. You know, instead of laying down a bunt, you know, you're trying to get a hit when your team needs you to bunt along a runner, and you want to get more out of it. You just can't do that. Number of innings pitched is something that forever has been going on as an incentive. Unfortunately, Jake Odorizzi feels like, and I could certainly see where he'd think, hey, you guys, how am I getting pulled out of a game with 66 pitches, and you guys are, and I've given up two runs here, and you guys haven't let me throw into the seventh inning yet. I get it.
I mean, I think it's a baseball decision, but I get why a starter who's got this money, one simple, he just wants to get to 100.
Yeah.
That's really all he wants to do.
Well, and he will. He will. He's got more starts.
He's got how many more starts?
There's four more. He's already at 94 innings.
Oh, is he at 94?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then he wants to hit the one.
Well, now, he may not hit the 120 or what those incentives.
No.
Right.
That's cash, too. Yeah. You know what I would do right now? If you're the Astros, like, listen, we're going to send you to the bullpen. Huh? No, you'll probably get to 100. It'll just have to be, you know.
No,
it'll just take a few more outings. You're going to need to be active in that pen.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think Christian Javier has near the innings that he has. And, you know, Javier's been in the bullpen for how long? Now, Odorizzi missed time because of his injury. But he, you know, games played. I'm pretty sure Javier is pretty close to a number of innings pitched. Yeah, innings pitched right here. Odorizzi 94, Javier 90. And Javier's been in the bullpen for most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So Odorizzi's like, what the bleep?
Let's go. Jake, you could have seen if you'd have gone to the bullpen. You could have. Now, Jake did miss time, but it's going to be, it'll be interesting to see what happens with his.
So we got James Palmer coming up, and we are on the day that the NFL season starts, right?
Yeah.
What about that big Texans news that we need to get to?
Which one is it today?
I don't. That's what my problem is. What? I mean, what is their?
Well, they got
honest,
a bull.
I know
named,
that the other station has to talk about them.
They got a bull named El Bravo, whose head goes back and forth whenever they run out of the tunnel.
Mechanical bull, right? But it's not the kind of bull that you sit on at a bar.
No, it's just the shoulders, like the neck up.
Basically. Yeah, it's just the bull does that.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody's clamoring to get to a Texans game this year?
Well, I don't know that anyone's clamoring.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, they decided that they're going to fill up the stadium. If you bring a can of beans to Justin Reed,
you know what I just realized?
You get two tickets to a game.
I just realized I got to check and see. I got to check NFL.com.
Still trying to sell tickets to this game.
Well, you have to.
Well, no. Usually you don't sell tickets the week of the opener. Texans don't anyway.
Did either of you see Jerome's tweet yesterday?
No.
The get-in price for the Cowboys home opener, $279. The get-in price just to get in the building for the Texans home opener?
It's $25, isn't
it? $27.
$27? A tenth.
One tenth.
Wow. 726 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. James Palmer. We'll talk to him on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's from the NFL Network. He's well known here, used to work here, and great guy. So listen up in the next segment. We'll talk what's going on in the NFL. Right now, we're talking about hoops. We're talking about basketball right now. We got to talk about basketball. We're talking about practice. We're talking about your kids practicing to be better. Your kids, listen, I don't know how tall your kids are going to be. I got a buddy whose girls, they're relatively average, but they are just lights out shooters. Coach Hill's kids, his girls are unbelievable shooters. But you know what they did? They just work and work and work and work and shoot and shoot and shoot. And these girls are great high school players and got a real chance at getting to college and getting money for college. And you know what the deal is? Is they needed a goal. And they got, you know what? Get a goal for your kids so that there's a chance that they could at some point maybe make you some money, Dad. Maybe pay for school, Dad. And the best goal in the market is the one that they can actually play on, where the hoop lowers and raises so that the kids can actually enjoy it and they can get their eye on. They can see. They can actually hit baskets because they can reach the basket. All you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. Best goal in the world. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, time for me to tell you about my friends over at Cards for Kids. I love telling you about this because it's a great opportunity for you to help a kid in need, one who has the need of getting back to school and getting that diploma, somebody who needs that second chance of getting on the right side of life, really. And one of the ways you can do that is to help fund it is to have your car donated. And it can be your car, it could be your truck, it could be your SUV, and it doesn't matter whether it's running or not running. The Houston Can Academy partners with Cars for Kids to help these kids get back to school. And what your donation of a car, basically, like I said, running or not running, is going to help make this a reality. They come out, they'll pick up your vehicle, they'll haul it off. And even if you don't have the title on that, they'll search for the title and they'll do the transfer information for you as well. So they make it super easy. You get a tax write-off. You can write off the car and not the kid. All you have to do is go to carsforkids.org. That's carsforkids.org.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in James Palmer, old friend of the show. He's a correspondent for NFL Network. James, welcome in. How you doing, man?
Guys, how we doing this morning? We have real live football today. We made it. That's like the tweet everybody sent out this morning.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
I didn't send one. I just wanted to tell you guys.
The obligatory tweet about the football season is here, and it's great. It is great to have the football season here. How much time are you spending? And we know you're based in Denver, right, still? Are you spending much time here in Houston?
I'm still in Denver, and this is the time of year when we find out. Everybody goes, where are you going to be this year? And I'm like, I have no clue, because it changes every year. And then the storylines of the league change, and that's where I start heading. I had no idea I was going to be spending my life in Tampa last year, which is what ended up happening. You know, year in and year out, it changes. The year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I had no idea I was going to cover Philly. I was there for every game from week 12 through the Super Bowl. So it changes all the time. I'll be in Houston this week. I know I'll be in Houston for the Thursday night, too, in week 3. So I'll be down with you guys over the next couple weeks. I do know that.
Awesome. James Palmer here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What are the ties? Are the ties real? There's smoke about Deshaun with Denver. Anything to that?
I think they have some interest. I think you look at their roster, and they definitely had interest before all the off-the-field stuff came about that obviously nobody really takes lightly. But before that, there was definitely more interest from Denver. They're definitely one of the teams that is still you know, monitoring, I would say, the situation right now with a couple other teams.
Yeah, from a Texans standpoint, as a guy who has been here and you're not here now, do you look at the Texans as kind of a snooze this year from a storyline perspective, or do you find interest in this because of the amount of positions and the way the organization's kind of, I don't know if disarray is the right word for it, but they're certainly not a settled organization.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, we were talking about what we think the Texans offense will look like on the show the other day. And it was me and Brian Baldinger, and I think he maybe put it perfectly. He was like, I look at the roster, and it looks like an expansion team. Like, this looks like an expansion
team. That's what Baldy said.
Put together. That's what Baldy said. And you know, when you
it's
go look
true.
At the roster, it's kind of accurate. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, it's listen, you can still win games, but if you just look at the way the roster's put together with so many guys that have come in as veterans, and so much turnover, and you know, you have an entirely new culture, entirely new philosophy, entirely new pretty much everything. Like, it's a brand new start. I mean, we're watching this happen with a couple of places, but I don't think any place is like Houston. So I do think there's intrigue because with Nick Caserio, I do think that he knows what he's doing, and I think that's why people do want to have some sort of, you know, nationally have some sort of thought on what he's going to do over the, you know, the course of this season and then next offseason. And I think that's why there is some intrigue, because at the same time, I think you're going to watch him turn this over. You know, you saw the Bradley Roby trade that isn't official but is happening, to my understanding. And the way he's going to go about his business of turning this over, I think that's the interesting part. I don't know if, you know, he kind of said this in his press conference last week. Like, I don't know if wins and losses are what people are going to watch in Houston over the next year. It's going to be what happens, obviously, with Deshaun Watson and his future and how they handle that, which I know Lance has been all over the Twitter world just barking at people, just going down the road of just, whew, I've loved it, Lance, of the way things have just gone, you know, with that situation. And then how does he turn this roster over? It's not really wins and losses. It's just what direction is this organization heading and how is he going to handle it?
Well, I think it's disingenuous. You know, yesterday I had a comment on Twitter because I got so sick. I saw Deshaun Watson was trending again. And I said, what is it this time? And I look and it's conversation. I've never seen, we're in the media, all three of us. So I get, you know, there's content you have to create and feel and fill, but you know, the non-stories around Deshaun that have been created as stories, there is still no movement from a legal standpoint. There's really no movement mm-hmm. from the Texans wanting to get full value for him in the trade. Like, I think Deshaun is a non-story that has been – I don't mind that he's a story, a non-story that's created as a story. But at some point, it's got to end. We got to wait for some things to happen from a legal standpoint, because nothing's going to happen until I think something – on the legal end or the NFL end about their suspension. Until that gets mentioned, James, I just don't see anything. I don't see movement coming for the Deshaun Watson situation.
You're exactly right. And it's funny you bring that up, because when I'm on the sideline for game day morning on Sunday, I know I'm going to have to talk about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and it's not even your fault. I mean, producers want you to
know,
do it.
And exactly. And you're exactly right. And the way that this always keeps coming back up is, right, that usually, not in this case, deadlines create movement, right? And we just had a deadline with the 53-man roster, which brought up the whole news cycle again, which goes, you know, everybody goes, well, this, everybody's finding a reason within the NFL timeline to bring up Deshaun Watson once again, right? And the 53-man roster was another reason to bring it up. I wholeheartedly believe and know what Charles Robinson was reporting is accurate. But at the same time, there's nothing changing. They're not going to change their stance, because this is the largest capital, and this is not incorrect for Nick Caserio to do. This is the largest capital they have to go through the rebuild that I just kind of described, what that we all have our eye on. And if he accepts anything less than what they believe is market value for, I mean, put the allegations and the off the field aside, one of the best players in all of football. What he did last year for a team that only won four games was absolutely remarkable, the performance he had. He knows what he's worth, and he can't take anything less than that. But at the same time, nothing is moving. I mean, nothing has changed from when I went to Texans camp towards the beginning of training camp. I was told that day, nobody in the building thinks he's ever going to take a snap again for the Houston Texans. Nobody in the building in terms of the players specifically, believe Tyrod Taylor is not their starting quarterback. And nothing had changed with how they were going about their business throughout all of training camp. And that's still the same right now. It's been going that way since camp started, essentially, behind closed doors and inside that building. So I do think we love to create storylines when there's nothing happening, and deadlines do that a lot. But you're exactly right, Lance. Until the NFL does something, which hasn't happened, until anything legally changes, which hasn't happened, this is going to go about the way it's gone through training camp, and it's going to do the same thing throughout the season until one of those things actually happens.
And James Palmer with us here, NFL Network, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And let's face it, you wait, and there's a lot of openings that could happen. Denver, they're not set on Teddy Bridgewater for the long term. Derek Carr has got to perform this year. Ben Roethlisberger is on his last legs. Jameis Winston, is he going to be the guy in New Orleans? There are a lot of places that will be looking for that franchise guy. And I'm not sure that this quarterback situation in college is going to be the same as it was this year. There's no Trevor Lawrence this year in college football.
No, there's not. I mean, that guy's been the face of college football for the last 3 years, and nobody has built a resume like he has over the last couple of years heading into their opportunity to be drafted. And that's exactly right. And what usually also creates movement, other than deadlines, is competition. And that's what would work best for the Houston Texans. If there are multiple teams that are in need of a quarterback, that'll get your price to go up. Because if there is a finality to Deshaun Watson's situation, and teams know what availability they're going to get with their player that's going to be the face of their franchise, then you have a clear picture of how these teams are going to bid over him. I mean, look at the Panthers. I mean, what if that's not a terrible team? There's some people in the league that actually like the Panthers to have a decent record this year. And if Sam Darnold doesn't play well, then that's another team. I mean,
and they had interest. Like, the Panthers had interest in Deshaun Watson.
Oh, and hey, listen, if Tua doesn't perform, the Dolphins are still real.
I think the Panthers, if Deshaun would have been...
Philly is still in play.
Yeah.
So there's still teams out there. But I think you're right. Your market's going to be very different after the season than it was right now heading into the year, when you didn't know if he was going to play this year. And really looking at it, next season is more or less in terms of suspension or anything with the NFL's legal process, because they usually like to wait for some sort of finality before they do any sort of suspension. Next year is more in play of him missing than this season, honestly. So when you look at all the teams that are involved, yeah, there's still teams monitoring it, but they do not have the interest that they had, say, February.
James Palmer here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you mentioned that you're going to be here in Houston. Is there any way that you go into your boss's office and pound on the desk and say, what have I done to deserve the Texans assignment? What is wrong with – what do I have to do?
You know what one of his bosses is going to say? Charlie Uke, you know what he loves more than anything? Shipley's Donuts.
Oh.
He has me bring Shipley's from Houston when I'd fly to L.A. So to Charlie, he's thinking, I got you there with Papacitos and Shipley's. That's what Charlie knows about Houston, Papacitos and Shipley's.
That's it.
He's going to think, I'm doing you a favor, James.
You're right.
It's not a favor, James.
You're right, man. I love the plug of Charlie Yook with his, you know, big promotion, big corner office, and the new studio down there in SoFi.
Yeah, good job for Charlie. It's not for you, though. You do need to say.
No, not great.
Listen.
Exactly. I'm going into this going, I'm hoping this is the case. I get to tell my son that, you know, I was at Trevor Lawrence's first NFL game.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what I think
that's
we're
the angle
for here. I do want to see him play. I think this is the best quarterback prospect, and I know, Lance, you do so much draft stuff.
He was really, really talented.
Since Andrew Luck. I mean, he really is a special player, and I think the way he is going to handle this is going to be – some people are curious. I'm hoping he doesn't get, speaking of Houston and you guys, the David Carr situation where he is just pummeled throughout the first couple of seasons and it affects him as a player. I'm not comparing them as prospects or players at all. I don't think there is, but I'm talking about the amount of hits I think he may take early on. But I think if anybody can handle changing an entire city, which is what I was there during the draft, and that's what Shad Khan, the owner, and the rest of Jacksonville thinks, is he's not just the face of the franchise, he's the face of that city. I think he can handle it. He has one of the best demeanors of any quarterback prospect coming out over the last, I don't know how many years.
We'll find out if they can take the tarps off the upper deck there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he might be able to pull the tarps
off. You think he can pull?
He may need to be sent here. Based on ticket prices. You can get in the door for $27 for opening game. That's not great. But it is still rookie. It is still rookie. First-time start for a rookie. And Lovey's defense has been pretty active in the preseason, at least. I think it will continue to be. So I actually think John and I actually kind of did you get off the Texans?
I'm on the Texans.
Yeah, I think we both like the Texans' chances for a win here.
Yeah.
One of the few times probably this year.
I think so too, actually. There's a lot of obviously turnover with both teams, but I just think actually if you look at the way the preseason has gone and in a game like this, the Jags defense still has way more questions probably than the Texans defense, which has shown some signs of a little bit of life here in the early part of the preseason. And I mean, to have 10 turnovers, we know they can be contagious. And when you got as many, you know, new faces and rookies that you're relying on in Jacksonville, I think that could, you know, that could spell to be a couple of different spots to where Trevor makes a mistake or two, which wouldn't be surprising for any rookie quarterback. And I do think the Texans actually have a little better spot. I talked to Brandon Cooks for a while yesterday just about all the veterans they have. It kind of gives them a little bit of advantage probably early on about some teams like, you know, we don't even know what Urban Meyer is going to do. That's the other part of Jacksonville is just, you know, how's this Urban Meyer experiment going to go along with Trevor Lawrence? I just think Houston's actually in a little better spot for week one than, say, the Jaguars are.
Yeah. James Palmer on NFL Network, and he'll be here. Say hello to him on the sidelines. With the, you know, those of you that are going to be there, those four people that are going to be at the game. You guys, it'll be cozy.
Is it four?
Well, they're having a real problem this year, James. They've sold out every football game, having a real struggle this year. That may be one of your stories. This may be the first ever non-sellout.
Actually, that's true. Like as a first in 20 years.
This is the 20th year, and they have not. They've sold out every single game until now. So, this city has definitely.
Something to keep your eye on. That's for
this
sure.
City has definitely. There's a turn on this team, and unfortunately, the Texans are catching it right here in the city of Houston. James, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging with us.
Good to talk to you guys, as always.
Yeah, good stuff. James Palmer right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about John Clay Wolf over at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If you're looking for the best way to sell your car, I just don't get it. I don't get why people would want less for your vehicle. It's a car, right, John Clay Wolf? I mean, you get the most you can possibly get for it.
Get the most money just like your quarterback did. He left your ass. He left you.
Oh, my God. That's dabbed on us.
Yeah.
Oh, and your quarterback was, give me my money, give me my money. Oh, my ankle's turned the other way. And doesn't even play last year.
Oh, I broke my back.
What a puss. Anyway.
What a puss. His ankle was literally the opposite way.
I know. Hurts. I can't play the rest of the game.
His foot was under his calf.
Oh, well.
Dak has a good internal GPS. He can point, you know, a good moral internal compass. He knows exactly where due south is.
Yeah, right.
You don't believe him, just look at his foot.
While he's facing north. Hey, you like him tonight?
I don't know. I just don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Either you like your team or you don't.
Nolan, who do you think wins tonight in the Cowboy game?
Not the Cowboys.
I've got my football pro here with me, Granato. If you have football questions, I have to refer to my counsel, my sixth grade son.
Okay. Does he like him tonight? No.
I mean, Cowboys have a stacked squad this year, and then we have 50-year-old Brady throwing dots still, but Antonio Brown was really good in the playoffs, and then now this is regular season, so they've come back to reality.
There you have it.
There's our analysis. We didn't need James Palmer from the NFL Network. We had your sixth grader. That's awesome. So
we're better at buying cars than he is at talking about football.
There it is. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait! You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:49 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, it just doesn't get more exciting than Texans football coming up this Sunday. Just you know what, and I don't want to be like that. I want to enjoy the season. You know, I'm not going to go per se out there and, you know, go and try to, you know, be part of it or anything like that, but we'll watch them every week and, you know, we'll see if there's any problem. Well, I mean, okay. So that's a good question. What are you looking for in this season?
I just want, you know, what, you know, what's really hitting me hard is when James said, Brian Baldinger said the roster looks like, it looks like an expansion team because it's so accurate. I never thought of it that way. But if you think back, you have a bunch of players from different teams that have all gathered here in 1 year. They're not going to be here that long. It's exactly like an expansion team. Only the one in
the Aaron Glenns, the Seth Paynes.
Yeah, that was a more talented roster.
Gary Walkers. On defense.
Yeah. Maybe not offense.
Marcus Coleman. Actually, on offense, you had a lot of guys that were veterans other places that came here and, you know, but you missed out on that actual draft class that you had with David Carr, number one overall, and whoever else they took that year that didn't make the tip. No. Charles Grant was a third rounder in an expansion team.
You tell me
third rounder on an expansion team and didn't even make the team out of training camp, which is how can you screw that up? Well, how can a third rounder not even make an expansion team?
There's a character issue there that they must have missed. But we'll play a little game. We got a little time here. We got about 6 minutes, and I want you to be honest about this. Don't just beat up this year's Texans team if they don't deserve it. I'm going to start right here at quarterback.
Well, defensively, they're much better. I'd take the 2002 team.
David Carr. David Carr versus Tyrod Taylor.
I would take Tyrod Taylor as opposed to a rookie David Carr, yes.
Yeah,
talking about 2002 David Carr.
Yeah, David had 9 touchdowns and 15 interceptions.
Yeah, no, 2002 okay. David Carr
right.
was.
Yeah. No question. Tyrod Taylor. Now, running back, Jonathan Wells, James Allen. Those are your primary.
Yeah.
Those are your two primary backs.
I would take these
running
backs.
Phil Lindsay, Mark Ingram.
Yes.
Okay.
David Johnson. Yeah.
And David Johnson, yeah. Okay, so this year's roster. Receiving-wise, I'll just go by targets. Corey Bradford, Jabbar Gaffney, Billy Miller versus Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, Anthony Miller, or Nico Collins, I should say, and
I would take this group.
Jordan Akins.
I would take this group.
So far... This is better. Now, it's going to get a little trickier.
Well, and I would take this offensive line,
Line.
Yeah.
Really, this entire offense. And we expect this offense to score about 17 points a game.
Yeah.
It should be maybe the worst in the NFL.
Yeah, but that bottom expansion five. Team was...
That tells you how bad.
Yeah, was pretty lopsided defensively.
That tells you how bad. Right. We say that. How many points a game do you think that team scored?
That team scored...
I'm trying to find their total points.
Probably around 17.
17 points? No, that's the average drive. Let me see. Points. I'll have to find their total points. It's not. Oh, no. 13.3.
Okay.
So
that's not great.
It makes sense that they're worse than this one. However, on defense.
And did that count Aaron Glenn's returns?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, no, it was even worse than that. But then when you look at defensively,
the defense. Starters, I don't even think it's going to be close.
Starters and roster, it's not even close. Yeah. Defensively, your starters were Gary Walker, Seth Payne, and Jerry Deloach. I didn't remember Jerry
Deloach.
Yeah,
I remember Jerry.
Okay, so how does that match up against Vincent Taylor, Malik Collins, Jordan Jenkins? That's the expansion team. The expansion team of their starters had Kylie Wong, Jay Foreman, Jamie Sharper.
I'll take those linebackers.
And Jeff Posey.
Yeah.
Really not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Aaron Glenn, Marcus Coleman, Derrick Brown, and even Matt Stevens.
Yeah, done. I'm taking the
defense. Yeah, you still want the expansion. So the expansion defense is way better but than this year. but this year's expansion, this year's offense is better than the expansion team, but it's still considered to be one of the worst in the league. The roster does have a an expansion team feel.
No, it absolutely does. It's it's lopsided on the offensive side of the ball versus, you know, the 2002 team that was defensive lopsided so much better than the offense was. It absolutely does. When you're getting veteran players, journeymen, you know, middle of the road players, and this is exactly what Caserio did. I mean, he didn't go out and get anybody, no splash. There was zero splash on any of. He turned over the roster with 30 some new players. It has the real feel of an expansion team. That's a great way.
Here's
a
scary
great
thing.
Way to describe.
Here's
this
a scary
team.
Thing. We actually think the moves they've made the team better. So what that means is last year's team was an expansion roster with a few good players sprinkled in.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Well, you had
that defense.
You had a franchise quarterback, though, which is.
And we haven't talked about the big news is, you know, Bradley Roby is being traded. We have not gotten all the details. It's not official. But Bradley Roby is going to be moved off the team. And frankly, Bradley Roby is your best cornerback.
Yeah. So why? I think it has to be culture.
I think it's personality, attitude, culture.
It has to be.
I was surprised they re-signed him in the first place because I've heard he was a bit of a pain in the ass. Supposedly, he was a pain in the ass on the field for his DB coach at times in practice and otherwise. I just think they wanted – it's one of those things where you just don't want him in a building. If you're going to be a bad team, why keep a guy that you can't get along? I mean, he had talent. Denver was ready to let him go. Houston now is going to let him go. Some guys are just pains. And from what I've heard in that building in the past, he's been a pain.
Well, and if.
He has some talent and he has some value.
And that's what this organization has done. They're going to clean up the culture. They're going to clean up.
I'm for it.
Bradley Roby doesn't move the needle at all for this season. Zero. Zero.
Now, with that said, you did take some talent out of the cornerback.
Oh, no. You're not as good. You're not as good.
No.
But he doesn't move the needle.
No, he doesn't move the needle. There's no reason. He's not a guy that you're going to, boy, this is the veteran we need in there to teach the young guys how to play and practice. No, that's not him.
Yeah. When we come back, we got to make some.
Let's get our predictions
going. Let's get some picks.
All right,
we'll get some picks. And if you guys want to come in, if you disagree or you agree or you have somebody,
instant reactions will allow.
Well, how about this? You guys are missing out on this whatever team that they're going to step up this year. Whatever that team is, you're more than welcome to get in with us at 713-780-3776. Hey, you can custom build your Ford right now and save thousands of dollars because you might not like the bed liner or the leather seats or the whatever these packages have on these Ford cars and trucks. You can get that Bronco right now, and it is beautiful. I've got the Expedition. I love it. I'm already in. I've already ordered my Ford Lightning, which is the electric F-150. It's going to be unbelievable. You choose the features that you want without paying for the ones that you don't. You've got white glove delivery, never test driven by another customer. This is going to be your vehicle, okay, with zero – well – whatever miles on it that it takes from the dealership to you. So if you're looking for that new Ford car or truck, this is the best time to do it with everything that you want in it. And you will save thousands of dollars because you will get only what you want at Chastain Ford. You can do it all online, which no other dealership will let you do because they want to upsell you, and Chastain Ford doesn't want to do that. Or you can get to the dealership at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!